coming from a family that I shared just last week, but both my mother and father both served in the United States military. That's where they met, Fort Benning, Georgia, in 1954. And lo and behold, look what happened. We got to have some joy in this, folks, because what's going on in America, I'm going to talk about. Yeah. I'm going to talk about what this Veterans Day represents and what the men and women did for our country and what they are doing now for our country. It is a strange thing when the President of the United States took office that the enlistment quotas were met in the United States military in a matter of weeks, and they hadn't been met in years. Because you have to have somebody stand up, regardless of what you think about them, and say the truth, regardless of what you think about them, and I'm going to talk about that. So God bless America, and I'm so privileged to be here. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is serving in the army of God and what that looks like and what that cost us as Christians. And as a Christian believer in God's army, a soldier of salvation in the kingdom of God, we are handpicked to bear fruit for the kingdom. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. So I'm going to ask them to put up John 15:16 first. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Ladies and gentlemen, these are red writing in the King James. This is Jesus speaking these things. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may do. And I think I gave, did I give you 17 too, sir? Okay, these things I command, that you love one another. This is not a holy suggestion. This is a holy command that we love one another. That love there is 520, is G225, agapo, not agape, but agapo, which is to deeply love that person as a family member. That's what we're to do with one another. That's what Jesus wrote to us. This morning I'm going to start off and, well, no, I'm not. I'm going to ask them to put the next one up from Romans 14. I think I put 14:17. There you go. And listen to this. I'm going to read through 19. But for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, which is right standing. It's a $9 word, Christianese word for right standing. And peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Pursue means to hunt as a trophy. How many hunters we got in here? My goodness, you go, you man, you're trying to get a trophy. You're trying to catch the biggest fish. You're trying to kill the biggest buck. At least in this region, I don't know nothing else about what is going on. But whether you're coon hunting or whatever, you're going for the big one. And the fish too. And the word edify is that you build up one another. That's why we're here today, to be built up, lift up, and encouraged. Did y'all see, y'all seen this? But those men and women were stretched from one end of the sanctuary to the other end. They gave their lives to serve this country. Jesus says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. So this morning, now, I'm going to start off with talking about some Old Testament men, and I'm going to run through this rather quickly, but I'm going to talk about David's mighty men. You can go to 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 1 Samuel, and read about David's mighty men and what they did. It's awesome what they did. These guys, man. And I hope this will show what it costs to follow and abide in the line of duty in the army of God. They were the gatekeepers, the captains of thousands and hundreds, leaders of the tribes. Their chief duty was to guard and protect the house of God. Wherever it was, wherever that body went, that was their job. Their combat skill levels were impeccable. Their character and integrity was forged by their faithfulness and commitment to a living God. And they served a king and a leader, and his name was David. Now, did David get everything right? Absolutely not. He did some stuff that was just, he was a scoundrel, man. I mean, he did some things that was unheard, that you wouldn't even believe. And the only mighty men I can think about without reading it, and I, along with my wife, read the Bible, but I read about these stories. My goodness. And they're such a great encouragement to me. When I got saved and born again, and I started reading these Old Testament stories about these mighty men, I said, this is better than any comic book. I mean, and this ain't no comic, this is real life. These guys were real. But can we even name one of them? Nah, I couldn't name one of them right now except for Uriah. And that's because David stole his wife and had him killed. I mean, this is the guy we're talking about. Leaders are leaders, folks. It's about God and about serving the family of God that we're talking about here in the body of Christ. My goodness. But this is going to date me, but I remember in the 60s when my dad was in Vietnam, we would ride up and down the road on our bicycles and get the Pepsi Cola and the RC Cola bottles and all that, and then have enough money to go up to the store to get a comic book and a Zero bar. Yeah. That was big time. 15 cents, man. Yeah. Hey, I mean, I'm just telling you. I started reading the Old Testament and I got so encouraged by what these men did for the house of God. What they did. Listen, let's start with David. He was a teenager. He took on Goliath, killed him with one stone to the head. Hey, then he cut his head off and took it to the king. I don't even think he broke a sweat. How many 17, 18-year-old boys can run from here to there and not break a lot of them? I got grandkids that don't break sweat, and I'm going, gee whiz, slow down. So the reason I'm telling you that is, think about these things when they did that. Here's David. He started it off. And then you had the 200 men. The 200 men were killed by one man with a spear. That's in 1 Chronicles 11. How about the chief men of the cave of Adullam, where David was hiding out? And David said, man, I sure am thirsty. Well, three of them captains, them mighty men of God, his ushers and security team, whatever you want to call it, his bodyguards said, well, we'll get you something to drink, boss. And they snuck through the enemy lines, went and got him from his favorite well, brought it back to him, a cup of water, and what did David do with it? He looked at it. This is a leader. And this is the leader that I believe I have in Pastor Chris and Debbie, and you have. He looked at that cup of water, and he said, man, if y'all ain't got nothing to drink, I ain't drinking nothing, and he poured it out on the ground. A couple Wednesdays ago, Pastor Chris had an altar call, and the folks were kneeling. Pastor Chris got down there and kneeled with them. The humbleness of a servant of God, a leader of God. Whew. How about David? This is one of my favorite ones. David and one of his captains defended a barley field. A barley field. They killed 300 men with their swords. Think about that. Over a barley field, a bean field, a wheat field, rye, whatever, nowadays here. But think about that. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the enemy takes 1 acre of your barley, he'll take the whole farm before the day's over. You cannot compromise your walk with God. We cannot compromise our service to our risen Savior. We cannot compromise. Uncompromised, period. Amen. Period. And me and my wife, we get along so good now. But there was a time when she didn't compromise anything, and I could not figure it out, could I? We had some intense moments of Christian fellowship. I mean, absolutely 100%. So don't compromise. One man chased a lion in the snow and killed it. Caught it in a pit and killed it. Jumped in there and killed it. Read it, man. Just go in there and search it. Do some homework. Read the Bible. It's full of these things. My goodness. One of them killed an Egyptian. They said he was 7.5 feet tall, and all he had was a club. That Egyptian was a warrior. He had a shield and a spear. One of David's mighty men did that. My God, think about these guys. These mighty men of David were a group of the toughest bodyguards, warriors, who were credited with one heroic feat after another. They were ambidextrous. In other words, they righty-lefty. They were trained to use a spear, right hand, left hand, sword, shield, whatever it was. You went into them, you was in trouble because you didn't know which direction it was coming from, the right or the left. Talk about mixed martial arts. They would make Bruce Lee look like a Cub Scout. I'm telling you, these guys were bad. And Israel's got some bad dudes over there doing the same thing. They're special forces. When I caught fire for Jesus, I was given a book by a lady in Gloucester. And she was very concerned about me because, I mean, y'all have heard parts of my testimony on and off, but I was on fire for Jesus. I was going to make a difference for Jesus Christ in my workplace and in my home. There was going to be no choice. Man, I mean, I just told when I came home, my wife said, "Have you went bananas?" Because the reason she said that was because they've been living this way, and I said, "This is the way it's going to be from now on." And my daughters are looking at me, and they're crying, going, "Where in the world has he been, Mama? I mean, we've been doing it, you know." But I was a nut. Some people say I'm still a nut for Jesus. Well, that's all right. Praise God, because I'm in the right basket. Praise God. But I was given this book, John Fox's Book of Martyrs. 1587, he died. He wrote this book. And it's about, they didn't sugarcoat things when they wrote them back then. But he talked about all the martyrs up to his time. And the reason she gave me this was because she was concerned that I'd be like the rest of the folks in the church in Gloucester. Talk and puff up. Get all blown away, you know, get big, have a lot to say. Talk's cheap, ladies and gentlemen. Actions speak louder than words. And she was concerned that the first time controversy would hit, I'd stick my tail between my legs and go back to doing what I was doing. And she gave me this book to let me know what the cost of discipleship really is about. Because it wasn't taught in the church then. Well, she didn't know that I had read, and I'm going to read this scripture. It's from Ezekiel 3:8 from the New Living. He says, but look, this is Ezekiel, a prophet of God. Y'all ever do any study on Ezekiel? He was a rough dude. I mean, he was rough. I have made you as hard-headed and stubborn as they are. Man, I said, that's me. I have made you as hard as rock. Well, I used to have a nickname in the Methodist Church, Ironhead. So don't be afraid of them or fear their angry looks, even though they are such rebels. I've had that. That's in my New King James Bible. And it's from the older New Living Translation. But I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ when I got saved. I really believed, as many of y'all do in here. It is not to be compromised. It is not to be subjected to the whims of political leaders and anything else. I thought it would be appropriate to share at this time the persecutions. I'm just going to read these up with the early disciples, the apostles of the Lamb, which is the 12 original apostles minus Judas. You know, a few were originally part of the 70 who went out that Jesus sent out in Luke 10:1-9. But just think about these. Some of them are just the early. Like John the Baptist, he was beheaded. They cut his head off. Herod cut his head off at the request of a stepdaughter because her mama didn't like him. Human life has little value to somebody who doesn't know God. There's no compassion at all. How about in Acts 7 with Stephen? He was stoned to death. Ladies and gentlemen, when they stoned you, these stones, these rocks were as big as grapefruits or volleyballs. These weren't rocks out of your driveway. They weren't Ernest T. chucking rocks through the window on Andy Griffith. These guys were trying to bash your head in with these things, and they did it. That's what happened to him. Think about it. And what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He quoted his Lord and Savior. How about James, the son of Zebedee, who along with his accuser, who was so struck by James's testimony at the trial, that he instantly asked James to pray with him, and he converted to Christianity. Herod Agrippa had them both beheaded at the same time. Now, this is good Sunday morning message, isn't it? I can see everybody smile. But this is the importance, and this is what it cost us. Do you think the oath that these ladies and gentlemen took when they went into service, many of them combat veterans, took, was any less? Hey man, the rubber hits the road. God is good. He loves us, but it cost Jesus Christ his life for us to walk with him. Do we understand it? Do I fully understand what happened to him and what he did? Man, we're getting with shoebox time is celebrating his birth. Great. Praise God. I celebrate that I got reborn again, and I'm dancing in the grave that I once was in. You know, that's what we should be happy about. I got up this morning dancing that, and then I'm coming down by, I got two bags of trash in the back of my truck, and I'm coming down there, and I'm so happy they're playing that, and man, I'm going from the brake pedal to gas pedal, brake pedal, gas pedal. Praise the Lord, and I went right by the dump. I had to make a U-turn and go back. Hey, man, praise God. This is who we serve, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a joke. It's not something that we take nonchalantly, that we come to the altar and give our heart to Jesus, confess Him as our Lord and Savior, and think I got fire insurance. I don't know. Philip was scourged and crucified. Matthew was slain with a halberd, which is an axe. In other words, he was chopped to death. These are all you read about them. And you can go get this book. And I'm sure they got other resources. Rick Renner. How many of y'all know about Rick Renner? He's got a beautiful coffee table. He sells it as a book, but it's that big. The Light in the Darkness. He's very good at describing of what happened. Mark, John Mark, had his feet tied together, was dragged through the streets, left in a dungeon overnight, and the next day they burned his body. Matthias was stoned and beheaded, all because he was picked to choose where Judas Iscariot was at. Man, I can see them other 11 said, tag, you're it. Man, and this is what happens to you when you choose to serve Jesus. Every one of these guys. Andrew was tied to a cross because he didn't want to die, and it took him 2 days to pass away, and they say this church history says that for 2 days he did not do nothing but proclaim that Jesus Christ was Lord and the Son of God. My goodness, could I do that? I think about how weak I am. Could I do that? If only I could do that. Peter was scourged and crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded by Nero. I mean, the list goes on and on. You can read Luke was hanged from an olive tree. The physician. Man. Nero, the emperor who had Paul and Peter put to death, took cruelty to a new low when he had Christians sewed in animal skins and turned the dogs and lions on them to kill them for sport. Man. And this is a guy that they're celebrating in the history books. He also dressed Christians in shirts made stiff with wax, impaled them on sticks in his gardens, and set them on fire so he could light his gardens for his orgies in the nighttime. These are the wickedness of Nero and Caesar. He was a Caesar. Well, think about this. The two emperors that we know most about from Asia Minor, Rome, Jerusalem, all those great Roman empires. What did that get them? All the cruelty, hatred, and meanness. You know what we got? We got a salad named after one and people named their pets after the other one. That's what we got. Think about it. You go to somebody's house. I mean, I've raised deer hounds. I used to raise them. Long time, had a whole bunch of them. Some guys had dogs named Nero. But everybody got a cedar salad. Praise God. Think about that. And then there's wine. And then winding down, I'm going to read this. The man who printed the Bible, wow, the man who printed the Bible first printed the Greek Old New Testament into English was William Tyndale. In 1526, he read the Bible and said, man, if the common man could see the plan of God for their life, just see that. Well, you know, they hunted that man down. They locked him in a dungeon for 10 months, then they burned him at the stake because he printed a different translation. And it turns out that King James, I almost said King Jimmy, praise the Lord, 85% of the New Testament is taken almost word for word from his translation. That's the importance of getting the Bible, that you know how to understand it and how to read it. He actually said when they were trialing him, this guy William Tyndale said that if an English young plowboy, in other words, one plow in a field, knew more scripture than the Pope did because he put it in their hand to where they could read it and have it read to them. Think about that. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Think about that. And you say, well, man, I'd like to know how to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Get in a life group. They're all Bible studies. Every one of them, they study the Bible. Get in there, man. Praise God. Well, Why did I read you these tragic deaths? And I told you it was going to be a somber service. I celebrate what our veterans did very much. My wife will tell you that. But I celebrate more for what Jesus did for me to where I can be where I'm at now. Okay? Discipleship is expensive. It costs to be in God's army. Last night, I was communicating. Some of y'all in here are familiar with Pastor Andrew Masaka. He's in Africa, Tanzania. And they had elections over there. And there's a Muslim faction that's in charge of the government. 2 weeks ago, I showed Pastor Chris and Pamela Joe the video that he sent me. I should have got that played for that, about what the streets look like. Constant, they were burning. Now, these folks are winning the election, and they still burnt. They still rioted, looted it, and they burnt the place down. Well, I texted him last night just to let him know that, hey, he's in Tanzania. They've shut his internet off. He can't send no emails. He's on some What's Up app. Y'all know what that is? Last time he was here, he said, you need to get on What's Up. And I said, what the world, what's up? But he set it up for me. So as I read this, I'm going to read, this is what he said. When I said to him, we love you and praying for you, right will prevail. He said, it's a very sad situation and worse situation that only God can intervene. If I share what is going on, the ground would roll in tears. On my side alone, I have lost 8 great friends. So far during the chaos and unrest, my only car has been damaged beyond repair due to the fires that they've set. Even in a location where I had taken it to hide it, also other people thought it would be safer there. My son lost 2 of his great friends who graduated with masters with him from the university 4 years ago. My daughter has gone through very tough experience at our church. Our premises have some damages and thefts have occurred. It's a very painful moment, not only to me and my family, but other people. Only prayers can restore and resolve hearts. I seen the book of Job come true now. Just in 1 week, you can lose all, but our Redeemer lives. That's a disciple for Jesus Christ. That's a pastor. He's a bishop. He has many churches. He travels. He ain't traveling now. He tried to get out of the country. He can't. So I'm going to ask him to put up, I believe it was Acts 12:5. I'm going to jump on over into there. And the reason I say that is when I asked him if I could share this from the pulpit today, he said, absolutely. We need prayer. And I said, well, I don't want to mention your name if it's going to cause any retaliation on your part. He said, it can't get no worse than it is already. When you're hiding underneath the cabinet, he's in his house where his kitchen sink is. They're hiding in there. That's how horrible it is to serve God when you're not in the United States of America and you don't have a military that you can come and honor on Veterans Day. You see what I'm saying? So Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So what I'm going to ask right now is that we pray for Pastor Andrew. Okay? Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, there is divine protection in Tanzania, Africa, for Pastor Andrew and his family and his church, our brothers and sisters in the household of faith there that we support over and above in missions, that CFC personally supports. And Father God, he is a personal, not only a missionary for you in that land, but also personal friend of ours as a brother in Christ. And Pastor Esther, his wife. And Father God, we cover them with the blood of Jesus, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. By Jesus' stripes they've been healed. And any tongue that confesses evil against them will be silenced, and right will prevail, and justice will be served in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's been 2 prophetic words that have been spoken from this. Well, let me go back. And the reason I didn't give a title for this message, because I was thinking about it, but I put something on the paper back there for sound team. But, ladies and gentlemen, playtime is over in America. It's over. It's no more like it was even 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Playtime is over. it's done hit the front door. It's hit the front door. And in Virginia, after last Tuesday, it's really hit the front door. So, there's been two prophetic words that have been spoken in this church from this pulpit this past year. I call them gold nuggets. Dr. Barkley, Mark Barkley from Michigan, said, "This is not a drill." That hit me like a ton of bricks. It did. I mean, I just ran slam into that wall. This is not a drill. This is the real deal, ladies and gentlemen. This Sunday morning mission is about Jesus and the real deal. And then Carol John spoke one that I said, wow. And here I just read about, if you're not willing to die, then stay home. Don't go into mission field. If you're not willing to die, stay home. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest weapons in the flesh are not my fist or a sword or a gun, but my lifestyle and confession in Jesus Christ. Our lifestyle and confession needs to be what Psalm 104:33 says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. It costs to follow Jesus, but we have to remember what Psalm 103:3 says, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. The cost of every believer in America who chooses to be in God's army is never easy at first because we attempted to do it in our own power. I'm just going to quote this one verse, Acts 4:13. But when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were untrained and unlearned, they marveled because they'd been with Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. Them two dudes didn't have no boldness 50, 60 days prior to that. They run scared. Probably the most famous liar in the Bible is Peter, the same one I just quoted, his name, who lied about his Savior, his Lord, his Master, on the night he was crucified 3 times. He even cursed him. But here it is, 60, 70 days later, whatever, what school you go to. Here he is. Hey, man, the Sanhedrin's got them on trial. John wrote the Gospel of John, wrote Revelation, wrote John 1, 2, and 3. And they said, but when they saw the boldness, why? Because they had been filled with the power from on high, the Holy Ghost. The boldness. That's the only reason I can be here today, because of that. Ladies and gentlemen, why do I read and say all this? Because I believe the entire world in America, I'm talking about America, saw the cost of discipleship and what it truly cost on September 10th of this year when Charlie Kirk was murdered. I believe that. Paul Harvey, this will date me too, back in high school they had these records, Paul Harvey, who would tell you how to sell a claw hammer. You know, he had a special way, you had to make it entertaining, you know, you just didn't go up and say, here, buy the claw hammer, here, take it. No, you had to present it in a way, and he would say, wake up, America. Well, I say, wake up, Christians. Wake up. Matthew 10:39 says, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That word lose is and find. I have to release my life is what loose means. Loose. I have to loose my life. I have to leave my life, my old life behind. I have to find it is to discover it. That word discover is where we get our word eureka from. I've hit the mother lode, baby. I found Jesus. And y'all can smile and take a deep breath. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. The key is forfeiting your desires and dreams, Doug Johnson, and doing it for Jesus. I lived the world's way long enough, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not going back there. My faith in Jesus must have actions, James 1:22. Faith works by actions. It has to. I have to be living proof. In 2 Timothy 4:2, we're told to be in season and be instant, in season and out of season. That word instant is to stand your ground, keep steady, do not waver, not one inch. It is a military term used by Paul to communicate the importance of not backing down from our stance, our position in Christ, our job assignments. What this means to me, Doug Johnson, is to be as outspoken as a Christian as ever before, one who doesn't cave in or hide in fear. I've never, even when I didn't walk with Jesus, I was never termed as a fearful person. Was I? I didn't think so. Praise the Lord. I have to check with my leader. Yes. The Bible tells you the two become one. I mean, 47 years she's put up with me. And I'm telling you that because it hasn't been a walk in the rose garden. A tiptoe through the tulips. Hey, you can't go get the mail with me and have it easy. You know? She's shaking her head, that's right. But so you want more of that, come to the marriage relationship class in this winter. Anyway, I'm going to ask them to put up 1 John 4:17-19, please. And I can read it. Praise the Lord. 1 John 4:17-19. Okay. Listen to this. This is from the New Living. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Wow. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. Wow. We love each other because He loved us first. Oswald Chambers, how many of y'all know who he is? He's a Christian, wrote devotionals and whatnot. The remarkable thing about God is when we fear God, we fear nothing else. Wow. Just that sentence. Man, how did David go up against Goliath? He feared God. I'm talking about reverential fear. I'm talking about holy fear, the fear of being separated from Him for eternity. And then he says, whereas when we do not fear God, we fear everything else. You're scared of everything if you don't have no fear of God. If your confidence and your trust is not in Jesus Christ, guess what? You don't have much. You don't have much. Man, we're just enjoying ourselves wonderfully, aren't we? I am. It means I don't. Doug Johnson does not pull away from the public eye when hard, cruel times come. Before, the cost of discipleship in America for me was only my acceptance and my popularity in the workforce, in my community, a little name calling, but now it could very well cost me my life. I'm going to tell you this, man, I wasn't going to, but I am. 2004, I was at Matthew's Chapel right down here at the road. I was the pastor preaching, and it was in the fall of the year. And it was Sunday, and the telephone rang in the afternoon. And no, it wasn't the district superintendent, which he called it too. This guy was before that. Those of y'all been in the church know what, when your leader calls you on a Sunday afternoon, you've done ticked somebody off. So, and that happened every 2 o'clock every Sunday, right in the middle of my pork chops and gravy. So anyway, this guy calls me up and says, if you walk out your front door, I'm going to put a bullet right in your head. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't as refined as I am now. I'm just telling you. Hey, I thought for a minute. I said, you at home? I knew who it was. If I said his name, everybody would know it. Most of the people went home to be with the Lord now that it's for affected. And he said, yeah. And I could tell he was smoked up. In other words, liquored up, smoked up. So I said, okay. Took me about 10 minutes to get to his house. I parked. No, he coming to my house and tell me that? Just like somebody else coming in my house right now in this place telling me something? It ain't going to happen. I walked around the backyard. He's sitting in his lawn chair in the sun, had the bottle right between his legs. I reached over and grabbed both his arms and looked right in his face. And he started stubborn and a stammer. And I said, it's too late now. I said, if you ever call my phone again and leave a message like that or talk to me like that or let my wife hear you like that again, I will finish what I've come to do. Do I make myself clear? And he said, yeah. And you know what? That dude, it took him about 3 months, and everybody wanted to know where he was. That was between me and him and Pamela Joe and one man who's gone home to be with the Lord. Knew about it because he was in the house when the man called. He wanted to go get the sheriff. Nah, I'll take care of this on my own. And I went down there, and I took care of it. But the reason I tell you that is, what would happen now if that in 2025 if somebody called somebody and told me they were going to put a bullet in them? What would they do to me? What would they do to anybody that called you and did that? But yet we have leaders in our state who text the very same thing on the telephone. How terrible is that? Huh? I don't pull away from the public eye. I'm not going to. When preaching the truth of God's word is preaching that there are only two genders, a boy and a girl. Amen. When preaching the truth is preaching abortion kills babies. When preaching that same-sex unions between two men or two women are sexually immoral. Ladies and gentlemen, I raised deerhounds for 25 years. I had gyps, females, and males. Let me just put it that way. There ain't no male dog going to get a hold of no male dog because he's going to get bit. Dogs know the difference. Good time of day. How simple can you be? I mean, it didn't make no difference. Maybe they wanted to, but they ain't getting a hold of Leroy and Bubba there. When preaching and teaching folks that a man cannot be in a woman's bathroom. No, it ain't happening. I raised three daughters. You're not going to do it. Boys don't belong in girls' bathrooms. They don't belong in their locker rooms. There is a difference. Oh, there's nothing going to happen. Don't tell me that. I was a teenager. You can't go in no girl's bathroom and nothing happen. For me not to take a stand against darkness, evil, wickedness is turning my back on the Jesus I fell in love with, and I will not do that under any circumstances. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I walked away from a major denominational church for these very same principles in 2007. And look what's going on now. Look what's going on now. I've been taught that I cannot get entangled and make a political stand from the pulpit. That would be too controversial. People would get up and leave. Folks, stop tithing. Stop giving. They stop coming. Really? Look at the empty seats in here now. It's like this every Sunday. It should not be in this time. At Duke University, I was told, I went to divinity school at Duke University. Praise God, don't clap. Praise God, you don't know what you're doing. I was told by the preaching teacher, I just remember his first name, I couldn't pronounce his last name if I had to, Eduardo. He told me after I spoke, he said, you were born 250 years too late. That's what he told me. He said, what are you mad at? I said, I'm mad at the devil and his sin, and it's killing America. It's killing my people, and it ain't going to happen, not on my watch. For any true disciple to take a stand against evil, hate, murder, thieves, rioters, and looters, for them not to take a stand against those things, which we see on, if you turn the television on, you're going to see it every day, is to say what Isaiah, and I'm going to ask them to put 5, 20, and 21 up there, please, men. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. Man, that was wrote 750 years at least before Jesus Christ was crucified. To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:13, that we are already counted as the filth and scum of the earth. That's what people think of me anyway. He's just crazy. He's that Jesus freak. Praise God. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I don't get political from the pulpit. I don't tell you who to vote for. I don't tell you what to do. But politics became spiritual when politics stepped in and started redefining what a marriage between a man and a woman is. That ain't happening. I do marriages all the time, and I ain't marrying nobody else that ain't of the opposite sex. Praise God. When politicians started telling kids they can choose their own gender and ideology. Baloney. They can't even, they got to be told to brush their teeth. When politicians started allowing the killing of babies. Now, I'm not talking in all instances. I'm talking about because you don't have no discipline in your dating life. When politicians started doing this, they stepped into my house. And ladies and gentlemen, Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord my God and no other. Amen. I got that, Pamela Joe, we got that on whatever they are, and you put them over top of the doorway. Two rooms in my house. I look at one every day, sat in this chair. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord my God and no other. Yeah. How many of y'all can I get a witness for here? Amen. Amen. I ain't serving no other God. And when a Christian resorts to violence, then we've lost the debate, lost the battle, and you've fallen into the devil's trap. We have to do life God's way. Colossians 1:10 says, Paul's prayer says, walk so that I walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work, increasing in his knowledge, strengthened with his might, according to his glorious power, with all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. Every one of the Christian martyrs I read about earlier praise God until their final breath. When a Christian nation responds by preaching the truth uncompromisingly, praying, filling up church pews, singing worship songs, ladies and gentlemen, this is how we win our battles and this is how revival happens. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm a happy camper. I just get upset when people start acting stupid. Stupid is what stupid is, man. 2 Timothy 2:15, we are told to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My goodness, that's 2 Timothy 2:15. Y'all write these down. I didn't have them put them up because... Write them down. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then also for the Greek. I did have them put these two up, two of my favorite verses. Galatians 1:10, please, from the New King James. These are something, when I read these 20 years ago, I got happy. I'm obviously not trying to flatter you or water down my message to be popular with men, but my supreme passion is to please God, for if all I attempted to do is please people, I would not be a true servant of the Messiah. Put 4:16 up there, men. Have I already become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So I'm going to ask you, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? My goodness. Praise God. Romans 8:8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Ladies and gentlemen, playtime is over. Playtime is over. My goodness, I'm going to say this, a point to ponder, a question to ask yourself. And I have to ask myself when I start compromising, condoning behavior around me that's not appropriate, that the Jesus, the Holy Spirit inside of me, yearns jealously for me when I'm around people who speak vulgar. I'm not talking about going out and witnessing to people. Ladies and gentlemen, I go into jail 2 to 3 times a week. I go to the old boys I used to hunt with 2 or 3 times a week. I see them. Most of the people Pastor Chris and myself see do not attend this church because that is the lost and dying world that we're trying to reach with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't do that. I don't do that under any other thing else, but I have to ask myself, have I started to obey God's word? And do I allow distractions, pleasures, resistance, disapproval of others, or any other adversity to cause me to cease and not finish the call of God that he's given me? No, I will not. No, I will not. Jesus was not popular. How many disciples were at the cross? Spent 2.5, 3 years with him. He got beat like some schoolboy, ripped open, crucified on the cross. For me. Romans 5:8 said that God demonstrated his great love for me, that yet while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Man, our profession, confession, and lifestyle, I have to choose God I have to choose to follow it to the completion. Look, me and Pamela Jo started over twice. 28 years I was in the shipyard bending metal in the sheet metal shop. It was called a tin bender. Y'all ought to be blessed. You got an ex-meat cutter and an ex-tin bender. But the reason I tell you that is, when God placed a call on my life, I said, you know what? I'm taking this. People recognize that in there, our pastor being one of them. But I was going to a church in Gloucester. I was coming to Cornerstone Wednesday and Saturday nights. He's preaching three times a week. And man, he was wide open. He run out of his shoes, wouldn't he, Miss Janet? And I just praise God for him, for the example he sets for me. Number one, he puts up with me. That's a lot. But when I tell you, me and Pam left it. We sold the place, had 18-acre little truck farm, sold it, got to make sure my girls had cars, and it didn't, back then the money wasn't, it wasn't worth that much, but we started from nothing. Went to the parsonage, man, had a big time, and what is it, 6 months later, I got somebody calling me up, threatening to shoot me when I walked out the front door. I said, boy, this ain't no different than a hunt club meeting. Good time of day. And I run with some dudes, man. And then 3 years later, as some things happened at Duke, and I said, I called her up, and I said, hey, baby, this horse and pony show's over. I'm coming home. Get your bags packed. And you know what she told me? She may be shorter than me, but boy, she's something. She said, let me tell you something, big boy. You told these people you're going to be here for another year. You got 2 weeks left in that class. You're going to stand on your head for 2 weeks because you're not coming home because your daughter's getting married in 3 weeks and you ain't messing nothing up. So I just remember that. And I sat up there. I was on top of Duke, the chapel up there. Anybody's ever been there? You know, it's a big whatever. And I was on top of it. It's the only place you get your flip phone to work. And I was talking to her on telephone. Man, and I just closed that thing up and said, man, got to stay. So anyway. Praise God, but I'm telling you, this is how serious it is. We started over. We lived in a friend of ours had a two-car converted garage to an apartment, separate, and he said, man, you need a place to live. I said, boy, do I ever. And he said, man, you can stay there for the light bill. I said, how much is that? He said, $68. I said, sold, buddy. Praise the Lord. Wasn't it right? Man, and then I had another friend that said, hey, man, can you still turn a wrench? I know it's been 3 years, and I said, yeah. I'm telling you, God will take care of you. Genesis 22:14, he is the Lord God, our provider. Man, he will provide for you when you put it all in for Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, man. So I'm telling you this, and we're closing, but I'm telling you this because another man came up a week later and said, can you still turn a wrench? I said, yeah. He said, can you still change a tractor tire, a truck tire? I said, yeah. He said, I got a job for you. I said, I got it. Man, the shipyard, the general foreman I had, he called me up and he said, hey, he said, we knew you weren't going to make it. He said, I've saved your spot. Yeah, that's what he told me. And he said, you can have everything back, top rate, everything, but you don't get no vacation. Like I cared about vacation. I needed a job. The thing I needed, you know, they've got pretty good benefits in the shipyard. I work with my tools the whole time. Man, raised a beautiful family. And I said, nope, I can't do it, Bob. He said, what do you mean you can't do it? I'm giving you an opportunity of a lifetime. I said, nah, because if a call came through to go to a church, I would take it, and I can't do that to anybody, say something and go through all that stuff and then drop you. I got more integrity and character than that. And ladies and gentlemen, your integrity and your character is defined by what you do behind closed doors. What you do when no one's looking. How do you read the Bible? How do you pray? What are you doing? Are you watching something you're not supposed to be? My lifestyle and confession mean everything to God. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to jeopardize my walk with God. Okay. Well, I'm going to end it right there. It's enough good news for one morning, ain't it? That was my brother Ron. Could you help me out here? Hey, y'all put your hands together for the praise and worship team. You know, I'm going to talk about this in closing, but there's people in here who have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. I see, I talk to them regularly.